Is there social media censorship of conservative ideas? That's our question for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Terry Schilling, who is the executive director of American Principles Project. This is Vocal Point, and it's great to have you back on this program. Terry, thank you for joining us, and I want to ask you, is there social media censorship of conservative ideas, like on YouTube, Twitter, Google, etc.?
Without question, there is heavy levels of censorship against conservatives on social media across the board. We just had Steven Crowder get his video pulled from YouTube, and we've had several accounts on Twitter get banned for saying mildly, conservative things, not even offensive things, but because they trigger left-wing social justice warriors, they get shut down and banned. It's completely unfair.
Is this done, do you think, through some sort of computerized or mechanized thing that, you know, like if somebody makes some statement, let's be honest, a lot of times this has to do with the gay issue, okay? The first time I even heard about this whole issue, there was a friend of mine that had 700 really well-produced videos on Vimeo, and they were all just testimonials, Christian testimonials of people who were broken sexually. And many of them happen to be ex-gays that worked through, you know, the scenario and found healing in Christ. But these were all very respectful. Nobody was bashed in any way. It was just very, you know, heartwarming, actually. These were really touching things. But all 700 of boom, they were all taken down by Vimeo. This material is offensive. Get out. Bye-bye. You know, and that was it. And by the way, all this was produced by an ex-gay. That was my first indication about a year ago as to this problem. And even in the example you give with Steve Crowder, it deals with an ex-gay thing. In fact, why don't you talk about Steve Crowder and what happened with him and just wax eloquent.
So he did this parody video where he snuck into a LGBTQ South by Southwest meetup. And it was just mildly poking fun at the idea of identifying as another gender. And basically the point was, this is so unrealistic. And so what they did was they had an intern come into the room dressed up as a computer. And he said, I identify as a computer. I, you know, call me anything you want, just not Windows 2000. It was just lighthearted humor. And because he was mocking this LGBTQ whatever meetup, he got removed from it. It was harmless. It was funny. It's just absurd. But it only goes one way, and I think that's what's most concerning. Mm. You know, you have people like Linda Sarsour advocating for genital mutilation within the Muslim community. You've got people issuing death threats daily to friends of mine like Dana Lash.
From the NRA.
Right, and the NRA. I mean, they are saying things like blood is on your hands simply for being a part of an organization that has over 5 million members that seeks to protect our right to keep and bear arms. Blood is on our hands. Twitter, look, I'm fine. If Twitter wants to, you know, censor people, okay, fine, but be fair. Censor both sides. If you're going to say that one side has gotten too far over the line, then censor at least the people that are issuing these death threats, because that's what's really terrible. Twitter's just, it's off the rails. It's crazy.
How is this censorship done? Do you think that there are actual human beings that are trying to monitor all this stuff out there, or is it more like, you know, hey, if there's something that triggers something like this, you know, oh, there's an anti-gay message here. Oop, boom, got to shut it down. I don't know. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Well, so there's a couple things, right? I don't know if you've seen the James O'Keefe videos, the undercover videos.
I saw parts of them, yeah.
They interview people that worked for Twitter, and they were detailing a practice known as shadow banning. And what they do here is they have people monitoring accounts, and the guy's on camera saying, look, we just shadow ban people that we identify as bots. And the guy on the camera says, well, how do you know it's a bot? And he goes, well, look, if they have a American flag in their profile, or they say things about Jesus and being a Christian, and they tweet patriotic things, 99% of the time they're a bot. That was their qualification. And so what they would do is they would shadow ban them so that their posts and their tweets didn't show up in other people's news feeds. That was done manually by staff. Now, the other thing that they do...
Can I wait, before you go into that, can you explain what a bot is, B-O-T?
oh, yeah, you know, actually, I think the left does this a lot more than conservatives do. But, you know, they automate tweets, and the tweets are just, they're literally computers responding and engaging with people on the internet, on Twitter or Facebook. They're fake profiles. A lot, sometimes they're run by computers. Other times they're just run as anonymous profiles for people that want to say really, really, really offensive things. Like, I would argue that a lot of these, you know, death threats are not coming from, you know, real people. I mean, there's no real face, there's no real name to it, they're not verified. They're just anonymous, you know, they've got an anime person as their picture, and they're issuing death threats. Well, that would be considered a bot. But they don't shut down those bots. They just shut down the conservative bots that they that aren't even really bots.
Right. In other words, there might be a real person with an American flag, you know, that they identify with on their, you know, Facebook page or something like that. And those are the people they'll shut down. If there's a cross or maybe a fish of Jesus representing Jesus, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is they're being very passive aggressive about it. They're not actually banning these accounts a lot of times. They're just shadow banning them. So these people aren't having their tweets show up in news feeds. They don't even know that their tweets aren't getting out there. So they have no interaction. They have no retweets. No one's seeing their tweets, and they're just talking into a vacuum.
Wow. Okay. And you said there was another example.
Yes. So the other thing is that people can report tweets as abusive. So what a lot of times people will do is they'll use their bots to report conservative tweets as abusive or harmful, and they'll get their account shut down. And Twitter will usually shut down their account for a matter of days before they can get it back on, simply because, you know, a bunch of social justice warriors were offended by the tweets put out by a conservative leader.
Okay, so let's go back to the example with Steve Crowder. He was presenting something, trying to be humorous, you know, with this thing with the computer and, you know, having this hidden camera intern crashing this, you know, gay meeting or whatever. And they just didn't like his humor, and they thought, you know, you're being offensive, and so you're off for a few days.
Yeah, because he was questioning the progressive elite, you know, narrative of, you're whatever gender you say you are. He's highlighting the absurdity of a man identifying as a woman.
Yeah.
And it's okay to point out absurdity with absurdity. It's just like what Rush Limbaugh does. And they shut the account down because he's a conservative and because he doesn't go along with this radical left-wing narrative that we should be having our kids turn transgender, that there's nothing wrong with puberty blockers, we should open up our school showers and locker rooms to members of the opposite sex. All of this crazy radical stuff he questions, and so they get the one opportunity to do it, and they did it.
Wow. And he's not even questioning it in terms of debate. He's just using some humor as an example. Now, America, you write this, America prides itself on the free exchange of ideas. Indeed, the freedom of speech is fundamental to who we are, but social justice activists on the left reject this, end quote. Why don't you wax eloquent on that point?
Well, look, they don't believe in freedom of speech. They absolutely reject freedom of speech. And that is what their movement to restrict hate speech is. The left defines everything as hate or harmful that they disagree with. They actually believe this stuff. And they don't, I mean, they only want the First Amendment to apply to their ideas, their thoughts, their words. But when it comes to us expressing our freedom of speech and our differing viewpoints, such as men are men and women are women, crazy as it seems, they want to shut that down because they know in their hearts that they can't win in open dialogue. If everyone in America is open and able to hear arguments from both the left and the right, especially when it comes to this gender nonsense and the right to life, by the way, they know that they can't win. So what they have to do is they have to brand the people that they disagree with as hateful bigots and shut them down and not let their viewpoints get out there. And that's what's more harmful. They're the biggest opponents and enemies of the First Amendment, and we need to start fighting back.
Howard Dean says the First Amendment does not protect hate speech. Your thoughts?
What is hate speech? He should define hate speech and actually what it is. Because guess what? The First Amendment was put in place to protect the most offensive of speech. That's it. It wasn't meant to protect speech that was safe or acceptable. It was meant to protect the most radical of us. and the ones that were most cast out by society. That was the purpose of the First Amendment. Now, there are certain rules with the First Amendment that the Supreme Court has ruled on. You can't incite violence and you can't incite a riot. And outside of that, we should allow the freedom of speech to be protected here. We don't want to turn into Canada where you can go to jail for misgendering someone and using the wrong pronoun, even accidentally, although New York, the state of New York, by the way, has gone down that path. We don't want to turn into Great Britain. You know, these countries are all failed experiments, and we should be rejecting them. This is America. We let free ideas roam, and that's how we prosper. That's how we got to, you know, landing on the moon and had all these amazing accomplishments that we've done is through our freedoms. And the left wants to shut it down because they don't like America.
Well, what's interesting, though, about this is that usually when we talk about the term censorship, it's in reference to the government. But in this case, we are talking about these agencies like YouTube, Twitter, Google, that have become so big, even though they're private companies, essentially. So how does the government regulate this without in any way creating an additional problem in the realm of censorship? Does that make sense?
Well, no, that does make sense, and I understand the concerns. Look, the irony here is that Google, Twitter, Facebook, all of these major companies that you know, by the way, have a $1.4 trillion market share in our economy, all of these corporations and businesses, they all supported net neutrality. They said, if you're going to provide the internet, you have to provide it equally to everyone. Okay, fair enough. But guess what? You're going to provide a platform, you need to provide it to everyone equally as well. So let's apply the same rules that they're proposing about net neutrality, but let's impose it on freedom of speech. You know, if you're going to be so big and I just think that these organizations, you know, maybe the thing is they should release their algorithms. Google and Facebook and Twitter should release their algorithms that determine what posts show up in news in people's feeds. That's a good first step that doesn't coerce anyone. We need transparency here. I think that's a good non-coercive step and could do a lot of good.
What are your thoughts about something like Dennis Prager taking on Google in the courts because YouTube is discriminating against his PragerU? By the way, the videos that I've seen from Prager University, PragerU, are really tremendous. They're just short, little, informative, and they're definitely from a conservative perspective, a little 4.5 minutes. For example, I saw one explaining the true story about the pilgrims from Michael Medved. This is good stuff, but they're being censored, and therefore the lawsuit. Your thoughts?
Look, I think Dennis Prager is an American hero, and I absolutely love his videos. I share them all the time. I've watched almost every single one of them.
Oh, good.
And the funny thing about him and his videos is that I have very far left-wing friends that I have seen sharing his videos and agreeing with them.
Wow.
The one that mostly comes to mind is the video he did on the Civil War and whether or not the Civil War was actually about slavery. The video argued that it was about slavery, and I think there's some disagreement, but his videos are truthful, and they speak a truthful tone, and that's why they get shared by my left-wing friends. He's very powerful, and I think that's why YouTube is trying to shut him down. And I think it's great that he's taking them on, because we need more people to take on these big guys.
Okay, closing thought in 30 seconds on censorship by the social media giants like YouTube, Twitter, etc., Facebook.
All conservatives are asking for is a fair and even playing field. That's it. We want freedom of speech. We want the free exchange of ideas, and we don't want to be shut down simply because we oppose the narrative that's being imposed by us by radical elite leftists. That's it. Fairness, equality, justice for all, and freedom. It's an American thing, right?
Absolutely. All right. Terry Schilling, thank you so much for joining us. AmericanPrinciplesProject.org for more information. All the best, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay, bye-bye.